1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. A short paragraph, just two verses, but full of instruction for us today. I have said more than once that there is no church in the New Testament that's more relevant to the churches today than the Corinthians. The first and second letters of the Corinthians contain issues and show concerns and matters arising which again and again have powerful resonance and relevance to us today. This church was attacked by law teachers. This church was riddled with party spirit, the cult of man, disorder, the breakdown of the priesthood of all believers, and so on and so on. And I say again that the church at Corinth, if only we will listen, speaks to us today. It challenges us. It reproves us. The apostle dealt with issues in these two letters that need to be dealt with today. We are making the same mistakes as the church at Corinth over and over again. Now, what about this paragraph? It's only two verses, but there's so much here. For one thing, I find it difficult to know how to entitle this short discourse. One title which would suit the passage is this: No Pride in Man. No Boasting in Man. That's certainly here. After all, you get in verse 6, then you will not take pride in one man over against another. But you could also entitle this, Don't Go Beyond the Word. Do not go beyond what is written. Those are two titles I could have chosen. Let me just read the two verses. Now, brothers, I have applied these things, what things? Well, I've just said about not judging before the Lord comes. The Lord will do the judging. What I said in the previous chapter, not there's any chapter divisions here at all, starting at verse 5, what after all is Apollos, and what is Paul? Only servants, only ministers, just ministers, that's all, through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. So going back to my text, now brothers, I've applied these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, so that you may learn from us the meaning of the saying, don't go beyond what is written. Then you will not take pride in one man over against another. For who makes you different from anyone else? And what do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? Now what can we learn of the church of Corinth here? Well, it's very clear, as Paul has said again and again throughout the previous paragraphs and chapters. This church had a cult of man. It was elevating man. It was boasting about man. It had its superstars. It had its parties and cliques gathering around this man, that man, all following man. And what is Paul saying here? Don't take pride in men. Don't take pride in one man against another. Don't start boasting about men. You remember what he said? No more boasting about men, verse 21 of the previous chapter. All things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all are yours, and you are of Christ, and Christ is of God. So stop bragging about men, the cult of man. Now, is that relevant today? Relevant? How many people boast about men, follow superstars? Sometimes it may be the fault of the man himself. He may be encouraging it. But very often, I think, it's the fault of the people, elevating men. It wasn't Paul's fault or Apollos' fault or Peter's fault here, but they were following men. It was the Corinthians' fault. God uses men. And we get benefit from men. We learn from men. God uses men. Yes, it's wonderful. And we honor good men. But we don't make stars of them and icons of them and cult them into places where they become virtual gods. And I notice the one man, now I don't want to overemphasize that, but you will not take pride in one man over against another, but the cult of one man in a church has come from the fathers and it's still with us. This pastor business and this clergy, dividing the church into clergy and laity, this hierarchy. There's no hierarchy in the new covenant apart from Christ over us all, but there's no human hierarchy. But wherever else you look, I don't know about Islam, although I guess it's there. I don't know about Buddhism and all the rest of it, although I dare say they have their superstars. But let me take the things I do know. How about Rome? Is there any hierarchy in Rome? Is there any boasting about men in Rome? The Jehovah's Witnesses. Seventh-day Adventists. Is there no hierarchy? I know there is. There's the conference and all the way down through the various groups. The Presbyterians, they have their hierarchy and their groups, don't they? Where is it in the scripture? As Paul says here, don't go beyond what is written. We've gone beyond what's written. We've added to it. We've gone to the fathers. We've gone to the philosophers. We've gone to Rome. We've gone to the world. We've gone to the pagans. And we said, what do you do? Tell us and we'll copy you. We like it. Just like the kings of Judah and Israel, copying the gods of the people around them. We want a king like the nations. That's what they said. And they got one. We want cults and superstars. Well, look what goes down that road. Look at these words. Man, boast, pride, against. I pick these words out. Pride in one man over against. Pride and against. Man. Look at the link there between pride, man, against. Look at the divisions in the churches. Look at the emphasis upon man, upon man's production. Or the Westminster Confession. Or the 1689. I don't deride the men who produced these works. And I don't denigrate them. The value of their works. But they're only man-made productions, and we can use them, we can correct them, we can reject them where they're wrong. But some will not do it. They place it above the word. Do not go beyond what is written. I believe that many put their confessions beyond what is written in Scripture. What is written in man's confession dominates them. I say again, on that side we get boasting, pride against man. On the New Covenant side, we get God, benefit, receive. We get here, look, you see. Who makes you different from anyone else? I have written these things for your benefit. What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? What is he saying? There's the division here. God, man. Man, God. On the man side, the emphasis of man, it will lead to boasting, pride, and conflict against. On the God side, on the new covenant side, we talk of things like benefit and receive. And it's not what makes a difference. It's who makes a difference. Verse 7. For who makes you different from anyone else? How often we emphasize the what. Oh, I'm different to you because of this. It's God who has made us different from the pagan. That's what we ought to be saying. It's God who has separated us. Remember what he said right at the beginning, Paul said right at the beginning of this letter. Sanctified, separated, called out from darkness. Separated from paganism. Sanctified holy. Made God's people. Is God who makes you different from anyone else? What did you have, do you have, that you did not receive? The what comes after the who. Is God first, and then the what. And it's all of grace, it's all of gift, not of works. How often this is stressed by the apostle. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. This church is breaking down, the Corinthian church is breaking down the principle of grace, leading to the cult of man, the boasting about what and not who, and it's leading to this disorder. And so we get these letters. I believe these letters need to be read, preached, thought about, meditated, and put into practice today. The churches need to learn. This text, do not go beyond what is written, but come up to it, brother. Come up to it, sister. Let us not go beyond what is written. Paul also talks about experience here. What you have that you did not receive, you received it. Who makes you different? You've experienced this. You felt it. God has taught you by your experience that it's so. I'm a believer. Why am I a believer? Because I know, because God in his mercy chose me before the foundation of the world. Because God in his grace sent Christ into the world, who willingly offered his blood on the cross to save me and wash me from my sins. And the Spirit sovereignly came into my heart, regenerating me, calling me, changing me, bringing me to repentance and faith. Who keeps me? God keeps me. It's God who makes me. And that's true for every one of you who is a believer. And if you're not a believer, if you're not a Christian yet, the only way you will become a Christian, not by your own efforts, not by your own works, your own merits, your own deservings, your own observances, your own rituals, the only way you will come into any experience of grace at all is by the sovereign grace and gift and work and power of God. Seek the Lord while he may be found. That doesn't mean next year or next week. It means now. If God is speaking to you, close in with him now. Now, while he is near. This church is breaking down the priesthood of all believers. This comes largely in the scripture. True, it's only Peter, perhaps, who uses that phrase, 1 Peter 2. But you'll find it in Romans 12. You'll find it in the next chapter, 1 Corinthians 5 here. You'll find it in verse chapter 14 of this letter. You'll find it throughout the scripture. There is a mutuality. There is an equality. There is a each contributing one to another and one of another, members one of another. The hierarchy at Corinth has broken it down. And that's a word that needs to be said to the churches today. Get back to the priesthood of all believers. It's one of the gracious gifts of God to us. Practice it. Make it more than a slogan. Use it for the glory of God. I can't say more now. It's a short discourse. I say again, read my book if you want to see more on this, The Priesthood of All Believers. And join that with the pastor, does he exist? Now, brothers, I've applied these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, so that you may learn from us the meaning of the saying, don't go beyond what is written. Then you will not take pride in one man over against another. For who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? It's nearly all questions, isn't it? That's the apostolic way. My question to you, my friend, is this. Believer, unbeliever, I've asked you some questions. Paul has asked you some questions. How will you answer them? Now.